It's Marketplace Tech for Wednesday the 19th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Most of us think about hackers as people who tinker with computers and make tech do things it wasn't originally supposed to do. Some people trace hacking back to the 1950s and 1960s. That's when the technologically curious started tricking telephone signal systems into unlocking free long-distance calling. But in the early 1900s, farmers, ranchers, or you could call them hackers, started setting up their own phone lines with barbed wire. David Cecilia is an assistant professor at University of Maryland. He's written about how hundreds of thousands of rural residents got hooked up.
The big companies didn't want to go out onto the Great Plains and up into the Dakotas and so on. Since it was a network technology, the vast majority of cost was in the networks itself.
Laying the wires or building the poles, carrying the wires.
Exactly. So the farmers kind of did it themselves. A growing number of them said, let's use the actual barbed wire that's in place already. And it turns out that it works. Oftentimes, your property abutted another farmer's property, so you would string a little shunt wire to connect the two, and lo and behold, the two of you now have a two-person network. And if you do this a few more times, you maybe have a six-family or eight-farm network.
How does the wire itself carry the conversation?
You know, it's a conducting metal, and so you just needed some juice, which some people ingeniously use their car batteries. You could set up one of these with half a dozen or so families. Most of them didn't have any fee, and the subscribers or members sometimes would chip in a few bucks per year for maintenance. And then you're off and running.
This is like the adult version of people stringing two wires and a couple of cans together, right?
I mean,
they kind of hack their way into it.
The reason they did this was because they had compelling needs. They were isolated, so they wanted to find out weather reports. They wanted crop reports. They wanted help tracking down loose cattle or, heaven forbid, a child walked off and got lost. So what happens is that the rural folks ended up being much more intensive users of the telephone than people in the cities.
Do you see any parallels between this story and what's happening today?
The parallel that comes to mind is what is happening in places like China, where a local person will get a cell phone and then rent out that service to other villagers. In countries that, you know, don't want to sink the cost of building these hardwired networks, it's sort of percolating up and on a very local level at the early stage now.
Dr. David Cecilia is an associate professor at the University of Maryland. Doctor, thank you.
My pleasure.
What's the true cost of the things we buy? Find out by playing the interactive Worth It or Not game from Marketplace. Play the game and get exclusive coverage of the consumer economy at marketplace.org/consumed.
And the craziest video I saw yesterday showed off a spray-on substance called Never Wet. The industrial liquid repellent is a few years old. But there's good news for people like me who always get mustard on our shirts. The consumer version hits shelves this week. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.